This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning into our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
God is here, and He's here to meet you in your moment of need. God knows exactly what you've been through. He knows the challenges you faced. He knows the heartbreaks you've experienced. From the time you were in your mother's womb, He knew you. And there are no coincidences with God. There are divine appointments. Today is such a day. So let's pray that God will speak to all of our hearts. If you're able to do so, would you lift your hands towards heaven? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. We thank you for the awesome opportunity we have to come together. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing in the world, in our nation, in our church, in our homes, in our hearts. Thank you because we know that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one that paid the price. You are the one that made everything possible. And today, God, we have the opportunity to partner with you, to join you in your victory. So we thank you, God, for all the things you're about to do. We thank you for this beautiful day. We pray you speak to our hearts, and by the time it's all said and done, we'll be very careful to give you and you alone the honor, the glory, the credit, and the praise, for you alone deserve it. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus, and everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand praise one more time this morning. Thank you, Lighthouse. Thank you for being here. God bless you. You may be seated. Everybody say winning. Everybody shout winning. So this is our series for this month of October. We've been talking about, we last week began the series to talk about this concept of winning, and why I felt it was important to focus on this theme is because you see it throughout the Bible, and we are also living in a time where the enemy is trying to attack our mindset. He's trying to attack our identity, and it's so easy if we're not careful to fall prey to the victimhood mentality that the world is against me, I can't prosper, I can't go forward, I can't live a good life. I can't be a good provider. I can't be a good person. And we feel like sometimes life is stacked against us. And there's something about sin that weighs you down. There's something about the effect of sin that has that impact to make you feel powerless, worthless, and unable to move forward. The Bible says this. Don't forget this very basic principle. Very basic principle. The Bible says that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So the enemy has, the devil has a mission. He's got an assignment. There's something he's trying to accomplish. To steal, kill, and destroy. He uses sin as his primary weapon so that ultimately he can steal, kill, and destroy anything good, anything worthwhile in your life. He's after it. So if you have something good going on in your life right now, if something's good, you better believe there's an enemy trying to destroy that. It's what he does. That's his job, and he's good at it. He's horrible, but he's good at what he does. And he's been messing people's lives for thousands of years. So because of his work, because of sin, it's so easy to feel like we are unable to live the kind of life that somewhere deep inside we think we're capable of. And so that's part of the reason. So he came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. And unfortunately, even right now, millions, if not billions of people are living under that oppression of the forces that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy anything good in you. But I'm so glad that the verse doesn't end there. That's not the end of the story. Yeah, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, then Jesus said, I came. So yeah, he's there. That's real. Steal, kill, and destroy is a thing. Yes, but I came, Jesus said, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Not just serve. You know, can I talk to all the Christians? Say amen. There's too many of us as Christians saying, oh man, I'm just trying to survive. Just trying to make it through another day. Oh, the devil's after me. No, you should be after the devil. Don't you know who's inside of you? I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So that's the choice. This is not nuclear physics. This is simple. Do you want to align with the force that wants to steal, kill, and destroy?
Or do you partner with the one that wants to give you life and life abundantly? Duh. Oh, but no, that's it. Can we make the gospel any clearer? So the Bible makes it clear, not just that, but throughout the scriptures, you see that it is the will of God for us to triumph. That's why triumph in the Bible is such a big theme, because the background is steal, kill, and destroy. That's defeat. That's failure. That's a life that's broken. That's a life that's sad and depressing. That's what sin will do. But God says, no, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to stay here under the oppression of sin. I came that you may have a better life. I came so that rather than being a victim and feeling like you're always losing, I came so you can have a victorious life. I shared this verse with you last week. But thanks be to God. He what? He what? Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to, ooh, if I just do this, I'm no. God gives us the victory. How does he do that? How does God give us the victory? Keep reading. How? Through Christ. Said differently, on my own, I am unable to live victoriously. Why? On my own. Because the power of sin is greater than my strong will. The power of sin is greater than my personal ability to say no every time to the things that want to destroy me. The power of sin is greater. So here I am, the enemy, and the power of sin is greater than me on my own. The power of sin is greater than me. So on my own, I cannot break through. But through Christ, when I get the power of Christ in me, then all of a sudden, I have and can have victory. So thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Said differently, victory in life, true victory in life, is impossible unless you go through Christ. That's why Christ becomes central. That's why the Bible says, you know, there's a wide gate, and everybody goes through it, and there's a narrow gate. That's Jesus. You want to be saved? You want to live a victorious life? You have to go through that gate. And then no one comes through the Father except through. So that's the path. Oh, Pastor, come on. There's all kinds of. No. One gate, one name, one path. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. So this verse makes it very clear that our ability to live a victorious life somehow goes through Christ. It's given, but it's through Christ. So how do we get in on that? How do we connect with that? How do we make that possible? How do we make that a reality in our lives? So let me give you a couple scriptures. Romans chapter 6. By the way, if you want homework this week, read the entire chapter of Romans chapter 6. It's a great chapter that speaks about the power of sin and how we were slaves to sin. But look, if you're going to be a slave to anything, sin or God, you know, partner with God. Like, do that, right? So the whole chapter 6, a great read. So I encourage you this week, read chapter 6 a few times, underline some things, circle some things, let God speak to you through chapter 6. Let me just take two verses from Romans chapter 6. It says this, have you forgotten that when we were, everybody say joined. Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? So we get victory through Christ. How do I partner with Christ? How do I join Christ? How do I become a, how do I get on Team Jesus? how do I get that? How do I become part of that? How do I make that victory possible for me? Because on my own, I can't do this because sin is greater than me. But there's a path through Jesus. How do I do that? Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism? So there's something about baptism in Jesus' name that joins you with So now the power I didn't have on my own to overcome sin, when I'm joined with Christ, now I have access to his power. And so I'm here, and the devil's stronger. Amen. Oh, by the way, this might be news to some of you. The devil will be stronger than you. Oh, I got him. No, you don't. So he is stronger than you. Right? So you're here. You and me are here. The enemy's got more power. And that's why he can keep us under his foot. But then Jesus, if this is the devil, Jesus is not just like slightly here. Like, ooh, Jesus barely beat him. Because some of us think of them as equal. They're opposite. Just because they're opposite forces doesn't mean they're equal forces. Me, you, the devil, Jesus is through the roof. So here's the gift. Here's the gift. You and I can catch that rocket ship. You and I can partner with his power. You and I can have access to Jesus. We can join him. And the Bible says that we are joined with Christ in baptism. And in doing so, we join him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. So it makes this awesome illustration that someone said, well, what does it really mean to be baptized? To be baptized means a couple different things. Power, all powerful, let me give you a couple. Baptism, according to the Bible, connects us to the death of Jesus. We know that Jesus died on the cross, right? And he was able in his flesh to conquer sin. So now we have access to that victory. And so what does it mean to be baptized? A couple things. It means that before you're baptized, you've made a decision that you're willing to die to your old way of living. You're willing to die to a sinful lifestyle. You're willing to put that behind you. And so what do you do with someone that's dead? You bury them. Yes? You're going to see us baptized people today. We immerse you in underwater. We bury you. What are we burying? We're burying your old self. We're burying your sinful self. You're saying, I'm done with that lifestyle. I'm done being controlled by sin. It doesn't mean you won't mess up. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, because we all do. But you're dying to a choice and lifestyle of sin. You're burying your old self. So we bury you. And while you're being buried, the Bible says that spiritually, God is washing you of your sin. Because water also represents the blood of Christ that was shed for the forgiveness and the cleansing of our sin. So you're being buried. While you're being buried, your sins are being washed away. Isn't that an awesome thing? That's why some of you, we're going to hold you down a little bit longer than others. We might give you a little shake. Almost everybody. Keep praising God, almost. So to be baptized means to be identified with the death of Jesus. He died in his flesh. We got to die to our flesh. Amen? So we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live what? New. Everybody say new lives. Say new lives. Say new lives. That's what being a Christian's about. This is not just about getting wet. It's a new life. It's a death to the old life, and it's a desire to live in new ways in partnership with Christ. And so, very clear from the Word of God, baptism joins us to not just Christ, but to a victorious Christ, because just like Christ was raised from the dead, anybody heard Jesus rose from the dead? That's a good thing, right? Just like he rose, just like he resurrected, when you come out of the water, you come out a new person. You come out ready to live a new life. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Right? So you come out to a new life. Now with the power and with the cleansing of your sins and with the mandate to be part of Team Jesus. So baptism joins us to this victorious Christ first through his death and then through his resurrection as we come out of the water. So this is Romans chapter 6. Let me take you to Colossians chapter 2 because it's the same thing. Again, this is not just one verse. This is the New Testament. Colossians 2 says this, for we were buried with Christ. Right? You were buried with Christ. Same concept. You were buried with Christ when we were baptized. Understand, all the New Testament, all these believers, all these books we're reading in the New Testament, and we've been covering several books this year in the New Testament, all those believers were baptized in his name. So you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. When I get baptized, I don't come out to a new life because all of a sudden I got better decisions. No, I get ready to live a new life because now I have the Spirit of God guiding me. Anybody here ever had the Spirit of God guide you and says, yeah, don't do that? Uh-uh, no, baby. No. That was before. Can I just talk to some of you that are really like, I want to talk to some of you that really struggle. Like you were baptized, but you were not fully dead. You still had a little pulse. When you're dead, you're dead. I remember when my grandfather passed away, I was a little kid, and I had never met him. And my dad, you know, my mom and I went to his funeral in this beautiful, huge ranch he had in Mexico. And I was a little kid, and I was a church kid, right? My dad was raised in church, but his family was not. He was the only one in his family that was saved. And so his family was, like, out there. and long story short, one of the most crazy things I've ever seen, Pastor Angel. So we're in line. They had this at the ranch, and they had the casket. There was like a bunch of people. He was a well-known dude, and there was a bunch of people there, like a lot of people there. And they were in line to go see the body, and it was taking forever. I'm like, why is it taking so long? And so my mom and dad had me by the hand. I'm a little. I'm like probably 10 years old. And long story short, when we got to the casket, next to my grandpa, I guess he liked to drink a lot. And next to his casket, in his casket, next to his face, they had a funnel in the casket with a pipe that went down to a bucket underneath the casket. And I guess he had a favorite drink, whatever it was. And so all his buddies would come up and say some words and, you know, toast to him and pour it on the funnel. I'm a church kid. I'm like, what in the demonic is going on here? And they were pouring his favorite drinks. I mean, there was hundreds of people there. And they were pouring the drink and toasting to him. That was his favorite drink, whatever it was. Let me ask you a question. How much of it do you think he drank that night? Anybody? Anybody want to guess? How much did he drink? The answer is? Why? He was dead. Are you dead? I'll move on. Buried with Christ when you were baptized. Buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to a new life. So baptism, again, equals burial, right? Burial to what? You're dying to your old self, your old sinful self. Whatever you used to do that was a sinful lifestyle, that's got to die. You got to bury it. You can't bring that with you. And through baptism, we're also connected not just to his burial, but to his resurrection. Amen? So that we can live a new Christian life, a new life that pleases God. This is like, baptism 101. That's what it means. That's why it's important. Let me finish with this. And then we'll go celebrate. Let me take you now to Galatians chapter 3. I love this scripture. I love this imagery. Galatians chapter 3.
So in Christ Jesus. Have you noticed the consistency of the name of Jesus in all these scriptures? Right? So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, there's that joining again. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's an interesting imagery, right? What he's saying is, when you're baptized, you're joined to Christ to such a degree that you become part of his team and you kind of wear his uniform. I did some research, and this was really painful for me. Really painful. Because I researched this week which two baseball teams. Hold on! Which two baseball teams sell the most jerseys? Which two teams sell the most jerseys? If it helps you, Padres were like number 9. First two teams, 1 and 2. And they've actually gone back and forth the last couple of years, but it's the same two for a long time. Anybody want to guess who the top two teams that sell jerseys are, baseball jerseys in the U.S.? Yeah, you got it. The Dodgers and the Yankees. I told you it was painful. So here's the question. Why do most people want to buy Dodgers or Yankees? No, don't take it that far. They're not, no. You know, it's painful. This is so painful. God is humbling me before your eyes. They're the two most winning teams in terms of championships. And the reality is everybody wants to be associated with a winner. That's why they sell so many jerseys. Everybody wants to associate with a winner. Top two selling jerseys, individuals. No surprise, two folks from those teams, Otani and Judge. Two highest selling jerseys because everybody wants to be associated with a winner. Amen? So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. You've heard of guilty by association? What about victorious through association? That's what this is. On my own, I'm unworthy. On my own, I mess up. On my own, I fall short. On my own, I'm not good enough. On my own, I mess up. On my own, I am powerless to conquer things in my life. But when I put on Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I have no strength, I can draw on His. When I have no power, I can tap into His. And the Bible says that through this concept of baptism, We clothe ourselves with Christ. So I just love this idea of putting on Christ. Because if you literally walked around every day knowing that you're wearing your Christ jersey, maybe we need to make some Christ jerseys. Because how would you feel with your Christ jersey walking into the club on Friday night? How would you feel with your Christ jersey on, yelling at your spouse or your kids? How would you feel with your jersey on Sunday morning, missing church and being at the beach? Feel weird, right? Like, I got the jersey on. Well, guess what? This is not a jersey you put on and take off. This becomes part of your identity. It's who we are as children of God. Amen? How would you feel having your jersey on and being racist? How would you feel putting your jersey on and discriminating against others? How would you feel? That wouldn't match, right? It's like, no. Not with that. I mean, like, really? So it is a powerful thing, but it's also a sobering thing. You and I represent Christ. And so this concept of putting on Christ becomes hugely important. And then it goes on to say, and those that are getting baptized, you can start making your way, get ready. Can we give them a hand? Oh, this is going to be so good. Well, wow, there's a lot of you. All right, awesome. But I love verse 28. I love verse 28. And let me tell you why this matters and why I just said what I just said. Notice verse 28. Notice what it says. So, because of baptism, through baptism, as we unite with Christ, as we become one with Christ, notice what happens. As we unite with Christ, notice what happens. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female. Notice, when you come into Christ, all of our differences fade away. Everything fades away. When you accept Christ, when you're clothed with Christ, when you join Christ through baptism, Bible says all those differences fade away. And the Bible says we become all what? One in Christ Jesus. We become one, and we become the one body of Christ. He's the head, we are the body. Amen. That's the church. That's the beautiful thing of baptism in His name. So this morning, I want to encourage you all, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I want you to consider this morning the fact that today is the day of salvation. The opportunity is before you. What do you need to do? You don't need to take a 20-month course. What you need to decide is, I'm tired of living in sin. And I recognize I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. I need to partner with God. So today I'm willing to die to my old self, and I want to be born again into a new life with the power of Christ in my life to overcome the things that I haven't been able to conquer on my own. If that's you, today's your day.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.